is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from
sleeves he wasn't putting on the Ritz.
Our God is an awesome God.
There's thunder in his footsteps, a lightning in his fist.
Our God is an awesome God.
And the Lord wasn't joking when he kicked him out of Eden. It wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. His return is very soon, and so you better be believing.
Our God is an awesome God.
Yes, we know that he's awesome. Starless in the void of the night.
Our God is an awesome God.
He spoke into the darkness and created the light.
Our God is an awesome God.
The judgment and wrath he poured out on Sodom. His mercy and grace he gave us at the cross. I hope that we have not too quickly forgotten that
our God is an awesome God.
Yes, we know that he's awesome. Yes, we know that he's awesome.
Welcome you to the Word of Life. This morning's program is going to be a break from our regular studies. Next Lord's Day, or at the very end of this program, perhaps we might get into the Gospel of John chapter 3. Less than half a dozen hours ago from the time that this show is being recorded, I received news of the passing of a dear old friend. Many of you in the listening audience know Thelma Galloway. Thelma has been a part of my life, Thelma and her husband Shorty, who deceased several years ago, and her son Randy, and then Curtis, who is still with us, are all been a part of my life ever since I was a child. Thelma never got tired of telling the story about how when I was born, Mom brought me home from the hospital. Thelma was taking care of my sisters, three sisters, and my brother, watching over them. And when she saw me, she looked at me, and she just delighted in saying this because I don't have red hair anymore. But she looked at me and said, "Well, Ruby, that's my mom. Can't you have anything but red-headed babies?" And she'd just laugh and carry on. Thelma's a dear friend, and I appreciated her friendship and her faith over many years. That's been 58 years ago, and there are numerous stories that Thelma would tell. But that one always sets the tone for what I say and what I think. From the very beginning of life, we have the ability to make relationships. We call it bonding, when a child bonds with mother, when a child makes that connection with his mother or her mother. When they make that connection with their father, we call it bonding. And in family, we have a place we fit in, but life becomes ever so much more than just father or mother or family. And I don't say just in a bad sense of the word, but you understand what I mean. Life becomes a veritable bouquet of people that we know, almost like a patchwork quilt. I remember growing up when Mom would be coming towards, fall and winter, and she would always be checking the blankets out and quilts and taking care of things, patching where she could. And she had a bag that was a scrap bag. She would always have it and be sewing together pieces, piecing together patchwork quilts. Thelma did the same kind of thing. You know, the wonderful thing about friends is that they get into your heart, they get into your life, they become a part of the fabric of the life that we live here in the world. People make life worth living in that sense. Now, in the ultimate sense, I understand that God makes life worth living. But you know that God's people, those saints, as the scripture called them, the holy ones, the ones that are redeemed, they're very special in the sight of God. And they're very special in the sight of those around them. Over the years, in the congregation at Gentry and the congregation at Colcord, we have watched generations pass. I can remember back to the time I was little that there were people who were born in the 1800s who were part of the congregation, and that was not an uncommon thing. The generations pass, the birth dates progress, the dates of death progress. All of us experience what Thelma experienced already. We have friends that have passed. We have friends that have remained with us. The only difference is some are living and some are gone on. Not gone away, mind you, but gone on. When we consider these friends that become a part of our life, there are certain times that we stand with them in a very special way. Perhaps an accident happens and they need our help. Perhaps an illness. Perhaps a death in the family, something like this, that we step up beside them and become to them someone to lean on, someone to talk to. And perhaps at times we don't even know the words to say, and all we can really tell them is, well, I'm just going to be here with you. I'm just going to be here. You know, we don't give enough weight to the power of our presence. And that is in the sense that it's not what you say, but it's who you are in the life that makes it worthwhile for you to be there. Now, I'm sure that in the coming days, and I say coming days from the time that we're recording this, but I'm sure that in the coming days there will be many expressions of love toward Thelma and many expressions of support for the family that's left behind, for children, for grandchildren, for great-grandchildren, nieces and nephews, all of these who are part of the family. We understand that there is a necessary support group recognized in the Scripture for the family, for the grieving, for the struggling, for those who are down and out, and that is the local church. The church is meant to be a family of believers bonded together by the blood of Jesus Christ. Thelma told me the story one time about her own conversion to Christ. Now, she didn't give me all the details, but she let me know something that I found to be very interesting, something that the first time she told me, I had no idea that this was what had happened. My dad's dad, my grandpa Potter, James Potter, was a minister of the word, and in some way I try to reflect that in my life too. But when Grandpa Potter was preaching one time in the area of Decatur, Thelma responded to the invitation of Jesus Christ. And in responding to that invitation in her belief and repentance of her sins and the confession of the name of Jesus, she was buried with Jesus in baptism by my grandfather. Now that's what she told me, and I wasn't there, I wouldn't know. But I'm grateful to have that connection with Thelma. Not just the connection of Grandpa Potter, but the connection of faith. Because you see what allows me to be able to speak about Thelma without breaking down and giving up all hope and things like this is that I have a God who is of the unseen. I don't know another way really to say that. Well, you see, God deals in things that I have never seen. Now, he deals with the things I see too. But understand that the reason that I can have confidence and assurance for Thelma is not because I have died and gone to heaven or had a vision and gone to heaven and come back to tell you all about it. We've seen those stories and the people admitting that they're lies from time to time. Instead, I go to the source. I go to one who knows what's being talked about. The wonderful thing about Thelma passing is that she's home. About a week ago, Thelma and I were talking as she was in the rehab center at Siloam Springs, and I commend that rehab center for their wonderful care for Thelma. But Thelma and I were talking, and we were talking about going home. And we didn't mean home to the address on Highway 12 West in Gentry, where Thelma had lived for so many years. What we meant was going home. As Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, I desire to depart and to be with Christ. You know, that's the desire of every saint, and Thelma had that desire too. But not just that, but a reuniting with those who have gone on before. Now, I don't know just exactly how this is going to work, but I do know that we apparently are aware of all those around us in heaven. The story of Lazarus and the rich man. The rich man recognized Lazarus. Lazarus was seen by him. The rich man recognized Abraham. There was recognition of personality. And I see that in Scripture. That's what the Scripture says. We talked about her going home. Thelma didn't cry. She didn't get upset. She was just glad to have the promises of God. When we visited again and we were praying together, the statement and the prayer that I made was that God would grant her a safe and sure passage across what poets have called, and Thelma liked to talk like this, across the River Jordan to the Promised Land. And that's what she was concerned with. Now, the decisions that she made in life are what allowed her to have that confidence. In a few moments, we'll talk about those decisions, but right now, let's listen to another song.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, dear Lord, close to Thee. Just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee. Let it be, Lord, let it be. When my feeble life is o'er, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely o'er, to Thy kingdom shore, to Thy shore. Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. I just want to be where You are.
place where you are. I just want to be with you. I want to be where you are, dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table, surrounded by your glory.
In the story of Lazarus and the rich man that we mentioned a while ago and recorded in Luke chapter 16, the rich man makes a plea of Abraham and asks that Abraham allow Lazarus to go back and to speak to his brothers about the truth that now the rich man has found out. Well, Abraham's answer is very interesting. He says, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." Now, the rich man's response is that, no, they need somebody to go back from the dead. And Abraham points out that even if one returns from the dead, they wouldn't believe. I want to talk about those two things for just a moment. And let's understand something here. God is not playing games. He's not the old white-haired fella sitting in the clouds, watching things go on and causing trouble just for entertainment and stuff like that. God desires the salvation of everyone that's hearing this message. And everyone that has ever heard the message of Christ is invited. Now, if we take what Abraham said as truth, and this is spoken by Jesus, he would be the one to know, then what we see is that it's not going to be a miraculous sign that's going to cause somebody to say, oh my goodness, now I have to believe somebody came back from the dead. It's not that kind of thing. But what Abraham said, remember, was they have Moses and the prophets. That is, they have the revealed will of God. You have the revealed will of God. If you are listening today, you probably have in your home, at least at somewhere, maybe in a back crevice of some chest of drawers, who knows, you probably have a copy of the Bible or a copy of part of the Bible. Whatever it might be, you have access to the Word of God. If you're on the internet listening today, the internet provides access to the Word of God. There are many venues that provide the message that God has given. And what you have the option of doing is listening to that message. Now, I told you a while ago what Thelma said about her own conversion and how she listened to the gospel of truth and responded to that gospel and the obedience expected by God. And Jesus was able to forgive her of her sins because he is able and he is willing. And now she stands because of what she chose and what he did. The statement is very simple in understanding this. Listen to God. Do what God says. Receive the promises that God gives. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, there is a statement made by the Apostle Paul. And beginning at verse 6 and going down through verse 10, we read these words. After all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and talking to the church at Thessalonica, and to give relief to you who are afflicted and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God, to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord, from the glory of his power, when he comes to be glorified in his saints on that day and to be marveled at among all who have believed, for our testimony to you was believed. I want you just to listen to the text, and this is what God says. The statement of verse 8, is that the retribution that God has will be for those who do not know God, to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. How do you obey a gospel? The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection. Do you understand that in the process of being saved from your sins, that you are united with the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus in that very gospel that Paul talks about here? We won't take time today to study it on the program, but in Romans chapter 6, Paul talks about in verse 17 being obedient from the heart to that form of doctrine to which you've been committed. And if you look in the context, the form of doctrine Paul's talking about is that our baptism is into the death of Jesus so that we can be buried like he was and resurrected like he was. The death, the burial, the resurrection. What Thelma did to allow her to stand today in the crowd before the throne, seen in the last part of Revelation chapter 7, is to respond to Jesus here in this life, to respond to the gospel, to come to know God. We shared faith for many years, for more than 5 decades. We understand, all of us, that it is not the strength of our faith that saves us, but it is the object of our faith. And Thelma understood that. Thelma was a singer. She liked to sing. She sang good old gospel songs, we'd call them. She liked the new ones and she liked the old ones. I want to read to you the words of a song that Thelma especially liked. In fact, at one of the last times that Thelma was able to go to an area-wide singing with us last year, this song was sang, and I remember watching Thelma as she just leaned back and listened to the words of this song. I hear the Savior say, "Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, I'll lay my trophies down, all down at Jesus' feet. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow." Now what Thelma was talking about and what she was experiencing in that song was a remembrance of what happened to her because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The truth of the matter is that when a person comes to Jesus, the sin is taken away. Now it's not because I earn it, it's not because I deserve it, it's because God promises it. And when God promises something, he holds his word, he keeps his word. A generation before Thelma, her mother and father, Rue and Levita Langford, were a part of the congregation. Rue and Levita were a part of my growing up days, along with Thelma and Shorty and various other good and great saints. I owe my spiritual life to these people for guiding me and being patient with me and helping me to find the truth that I have today. Rue, Thelma's dad, liked to sing one song in particular, and I can remember him to this day getting up from the back pew on the south side of the building to come up front and to lead this song. And it's a song you'll recognize. Earth holds no treasures but perish with using, however precious they be, yet there's a country to which I am going. Heaven holds all to me. Out on the hills of that wonderful country, happy, contented, and free, loved ones are waiting and watching my coming. Heaven holds all to me. Why should I long for the world and its sorrows when in that home o'er the sea, millions are singing the wonderful story, heaven holds all to me. Heaven holds all to me, brighter its glory will be, joy without measure will be my treasure. Heaven holds all to me. Let's listen to another song.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of
suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. In that old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then you'll call me someday to my home far away, where is glory forever I'll share. Roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human, and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord. So remind me, dear Lord.
Now, I hope that you have indulged me and continue to listen through this program today. Thelma meant the world to me, a wonderful, wonderful friend. Best hugs in the world from that woman. Many have said that already at the time that we're recording this. I want to leave you with a thought from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that comes to mind every time that a saint goes home. Beginning in verse 13 in 1 Thessalonians 4, we read these words. We do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. I want you to realize verse 18 is true, that great comfort comes from this. The greatest pain, the separation of death, needs the greatest comfort, the presence of Jesus Christ. Next week on The Word of Life, we're going to resume our studies in John chapter 3. Have your Bible ready. Be ready to join us that day. And I hope and pray that this week brings you blessing. I hope it brings you fellowship with God. Join us next week on The Word of Life.